Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. Thank you for being faithful to the ministry. Thank you for lifting us up in prayer. And thank you for being a witness of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for you and me. Well, before we get started, I would like to lift up a prayer of worship before we conclude this broadcast or conclude this teaching series on the broadcast today. And, of course, we've been looking at It's Not Complicated, Look Alive. So I hope and pray that you've had an opportunity to listen to all the teaching series concerning this particular one, the teaching tracks, all the parts, and that you have just gotten a little bit more understanding in all its simplicity concerning how it's not so complicated, and we are to look alive in Christ Jesus. And salvation is the key to being a live Christian, a live believer in Christ Jesus. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and lift up a prayer of worship. So if you could touch and agree with me, brothers and sisters in Christ, as we go to the throne of grace, making our petitions known and blessing the Lord through prayer. Father God, we just exalt your holy name, for you are the maker of heaven and earth. We bless you with the fruit of our lips. We bless you with the pitter-patter of our heart. Lord, we bless you with a hand clap of praise, and we bless you as we walk humbly before you, Lord. We exalt you to the highest, for you are the beginning and the end. You are Alpha and Omega. You are the great I Am. You brought the children out of Egypt. You gave your only begotten Son, Jesus, who died on the cross for our sin. You created the earth, the world, the universe in 6 days, and on the seventh day you rested. Lord, we thank you for all that you have done, all that you are doing in our lives right now, today, and all that you will do in and through our lives going forward. We thank you for being your workmanship. We thank you for being the potter as we are the clay. We bless you for what you've already done in our children's lives, in our grandchildren's lives, in our spouses' lives. Lord, we thank you for what you've done and what you are doing in their life today. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in this world today, in different countries, state by state, country by country, nation by nation. We thank you, Lord God. We don't understand it all, but one thing we do understand is that you are God Almighty. You are the God who provides. You are the God of plenty, and you are the God who heals. And you are the God who preserves. Lord, we thank you for what you've done. We exalt you today. Use this lesson today to plant seeds in fertile ground of those who have an ear to hear you, that the Holy Spirit would stir up the gifts within them, that they would walk afresh and new, that they would go and tell somebody about the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died, that he bled, that he hung on that cross, and that he was buried in a borrowed tomb. But he did get up, and he is alive today, sitting in the right-hand side with you in heaven. We thank you, Lord God. Forgive us in the words that we said that didn't line up. Forgive us in our thoughts that we thought today that did not line up with your word. Forgive us in our actions, Lord. as you have thrown our sins into the sea of forgetfulness. Lord, we love you, we exalt you, and allow us to be used by you for your divine purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. So thank you, brothers and sisters, for praying and partnering with me in prayer as we lifted up prayer of worship to our Lord and Savior as a sweet aroma to his nostrils. Now let's get our Bible and our tablets or whatever device you may have to open up the Bible, the Word of God, that it would resonate in our hearts, that it would teach us the principles of life that we need so that we can continue to grow and go in grace. For it is by grace that we are saved, and we believe by faith that Jesus did die on that cross for both you and me. So as we look at our Bible scriptures today and focusing our mind on the conclusion of this teaching series, it's not complicated. Look alive. Think with me about this. And listen as I read our intro. It's not complicated. Look alive. We were dead in our tomb of sin, destined for hell. But God stepped in and gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life, according to John 3:16. Have you come to a place in your spiritual life that if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? Or is that something you're still working on? Something you're still working on? Or think about it this way. If you were to die today and God asked you a question, why should he let you into heaven? What would you say? Remember, heaven is free. Man is a sinner. God is merciful and just. Jesus Christ is the solution, and faith is the seed to a life that is full of grace from the life-giving tree. So always remember that heaven is free. We are a sinner. God is merciful and just, but Jesus Christ is the solution. And by faith, faith is the seed to a life that is full of his grace from the life-giving tree, and we know that to be Jesus Christ is the life-giving tree. So think about those questions. If he were to ask you, why should he let you into heaven, what would you say to God if you were to die today? So let's look at our scripture with those thoughts, food for thought questions, as we move to our last point and conclude it in this teaching series. We started on last broadcast with the last point being, he's alive. Now, with all three points in this teaching series, the first point being, he died, the second point, he was buried, and the third point, he's alive. We're going to pick up where we left off with point three. And I talked about how we were, or how Jesus was placed in the tomb, and the witnesses that saw him being placed in the tomb, and how he was placed in the tomb, and how they prepared his body for burial, and how that correlates with us or parallels in our life today, and how Jesus's body was placed. He died for our sin, and our sin when Jesus was buried in the tomb, our sins were buried also. And how the body was placed in a certain way and how the linen cloth was placed around Jesus' body and how they prepared oils and perfumes and different herbs and spices to prepare his body for death or mummification, if you will. So when we bury our sin in the tomb, then that stays dead. Now, when we are alive in Christ, we no longer pick those sins back up. They stay buried in the tomb of sin. The scriptures, where we left off with the beginning of this particular point. We're going to read, if you would, walk with me to Matthew 27, and we're going to start in 62, and then we're going to read the same passage in John 20, verses 1 through 18, and Mark 16, verses 1 through 8, and Luke 24, verses 1 through 12. So I want us to get a clear, simplistic picture of how what the witnesses saw and what they saw again. So now, as I made mention last broadcast, how does your life play out before witnesses today? Is your life a lifestyle that shows that you have Christ within inside you, or does it still show a lifestyle that is in and of the world? Say, backslidden Christian, carnal minded in the sense. And that is when we need to really take a self-evaluation and look at the man or woman in the mirror so that you can see whether your life is actually lining up in the way that God is pleased with you. Now let's read Matthew 27, and we're going to start in verse 62. And I'm going to read this in the NIV translation. Matthew 27, verse 62. And it reads this way. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.'" After 3 days, I will rise again. "So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first. Take a guard, Pilate answered. Go make the tomb as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the tomb, or a seal on the stone, and posting the guard. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Now, these were the witnesses, in addition to other witnesses prior to him being placed in the tomb and while he was being placed in the tomb. Now, on the first day of the week, which we know to be Sunday, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. These are the guards. So the guards saw the angel. The angel said to the woman, said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified." Verse 6 in chapter 28. "He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Amen. So we're going to stop here in Matthew 28 at verse 10. Then we will cross over and read this in John. So let's look at John chapter 20. We're going to be doing quite a bit of movement in Scripture, but we're going to look at John chapter 20, and we're going to start in verse 1. "Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark," a little more detail than Matthew in description, "while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, 'They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him.' So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen laying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen laying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their home, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she went, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated there, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? They have been taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you had carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. And we're going to stop there in John. Now let's move right on over to Luke in 24. Luke 24, and we're going to read verses 1 through 12. Now we're reading these passages in the epistles that correlate with Jesus being placed in the tomb and how the body looked prior to him being put in the tomb, which was, of course, on the cross, and then how Joseph and Nicodemus prepared the body, placed him in the tomb, and the witnesses that saw him being placed in the tomb. And this is where we are in these particular passages, looking at how they parallel one with another and how much more vivid the writers are concerning how the witnesses saw him placed, which is very, very important. And when they woke up to go and back to the tomb, this is where we are in these particular passages. And we've read already Matthew, John, and now we're going to, and Mark, now we're reading Luke 24. And for you note takers, we looked at Matthew 27, verses 62 through 66, and chapter 28, 1 through 7, John 20, verses 1 through 18, Mark 16, verses 1 through 8, and now we're looking at Luke 24, verses 1 through 12. So let's read Luke 24, if you will, and follow along with me, and we're going to start in verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb.
They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee." Now these are the witnesses that followed Jesus. "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. Now, these were witnesses. These particular witnesses saw how Jesus' body was laid in the tomb, how the linen cloths were wrapped around his body, how that one particular cloth was wrapped around his head, and now they go to put spices on the body, and the body's not there. These same witnesses. And then we pick back up in verse 11. "But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen laying by themselves. And he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus." We're going to stop with verse 12 in Luke, because this verses 13 takes a little pivot. But we want to focus in on how the witnesses saw Jesus' body in one position, and then when they woke up the next day to go and prepare the body was not there. So now we've read this in Luke. We've read this in Matthew. And I believe we've read in John 20. And it reads the same way, but with a little different details. And then we've read this in Mark 16. So let's go to Mark 16, and we're going to read in Mark 16. And I want to bring this to light because it's so important for us to see the details in all the epistles and how these women saw what they saw. 16, verses 1 through 8. Mark 16, verses 1 through 8. "When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Solomon brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body." Very important. "Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe. sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be afraid," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him?" That is a very important verse, sentence. "See the place where they laid him," they being Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. These are the angels asking the witnesses that saw those two brothers place Jesus' body in the tomb. Now the angels are asking them, showing them, "See the place where they laid him? But go, tell the disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. They said nothing to anyone, but they did what the angels told them to do. But here it says, "See the place where they laid him." These same witnesses saw how Jesus was laid, saw how his body was wrapped, and they come to prepare with spices, and now he's not there. So they left trembling and bewildered, but the women did what they were told to do. They went to the disciples. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe her. And we're going to stop there in this particular gospel. My focus is what they saw. In Mark 15, they saw where he was laid. In Mark 16, the angel said, "See the place where they laid him." And prior to that, he said, "He is not here. He is not here." Witnesses are very important to the proof of what had been prophesied concerning Jesus in the Old Testament, concerning the prophets, and now it has been fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled the prophecy when he died on the cross, when he was buried in a borrowed tomb, and now we see the body is not there. He has risen. Now, how does this correlate with you and me? Well, we have witnesses in our life that seen us prior to us accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We were destined for hell because of the sin that we love to lavish in. We ran to sin. We embraced sin. We lust for sin. Our actions, our words, even our thoughts took us in dark places and dens that we regret to this day. Those types of witnesses knew how I was, and you too, prior to us coming to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, for those who
still don't know him. For someone who may be listening to the broadcast today, you may not know Jesus in the pardoning of your sin. And I just want to take the opportunity right now to stop, drop, and pray for you. Because it would not be right for me to assume that every listener to this broadcast on the World Wide Web is saved or a believer or a Christ follower. So if you would, brothers and sisters, if you would partner with me right now and stop, and we are going to drop our heads and we are going to pray for those who may not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. This is what we call extending the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if you would, bow your head with me, and for those of you who are in the family, the body of Christ, touch and agree with me. And for the one who is seeking Jesus, who is wanting to know more about a Savior, then I employ you to bow your head, extend your arms, and saturate your heart, prepare your heart to receive Jesus as your Savior. Now, it's my words, but your heart, that your heart would be ready, willing, and able, that you would be in the family of God. So let's pray, if you would, and you repeat after me. Heavenly Father, my God, my Savior, I need you right now, for I am a sinner and I have sinned so bad. I know I cannot save myself, but I come to you with a bowed head, humble heart, asking you to come into my life. Change me, O Lord. Lead me, O Lord. Guide me, O Lord. Clean me, O Lord. Save me, O Lord. I love you, Lord Jesus. I believe by faith that you died on that cross for my sin. Please come into my heart. Set up on the throne of my heart. I surrender all to thee, for I need you right now. I believe by faith, and I want to receive the Holy Spirit on this day. I trust and I believe and I love you this day. Here I am. Come into my heart, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I pray and hope that you seek out a Bible teaching church, that you will be baptized by submersion of water, down, buried in sins and transgressions, have been buried in that borrowed tomb, but you arise alive in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah and praise the Lord. Seek out a Bible teaching church, my brother, my sister, and that you would be baptized by submersion, that you would get into a small group Bible study, Sunday school class at that church, that you can grow and go in grace, and that you would tell somebody about the good news of Jesus Christ, that he died on that cross for you and for me, that he was buried in that borrowed tomb because of your sin, and now he's alive with Christ, with God sitting on the right-hand side. So praise the Lord, and thank you for receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that you would tell somebody about your now born-again life. keep praying and keep seeking scripture that you will grow and go in grace. Now, as for those witnesses that I made mention that saw you as well as myself prior to us coming to know Jesus Christ, prior to us walking out our soul salvation before others, they were witnesses and birds of a feather flocking together. We were all in the same sinful atmosphere, same sinful walk. We were doing the same way, same things the same way. We were talking the same way. We were thinking the same way. And we were acting the same way. And, of course, when we all do the same thing, we get the same results. We get destruction. We get judgment. We suffer the consequences that come with our lifestyle. These witnesses will say, thank you, man, for hanging out with me, for drinking with me. They'll give you a high five for lying with them. They will give you a high five for keeping secrets when we've lied and we've cheated and we've stolen something. They will give you a high five for just keeping watch while they do something they shouldn't be doing. They will give you a high five because they've done or you've participated in sexual promiscuity and adulterous relationships. Is the sinful nature that we thrived on, that we bragged about. And this is what Jesus did on the cross for you and me. He died and his blood ran down. But those old friends that remember how you used to be, those are the witnesses that confirm your old nature, your soulish, sinful nature. They are the witnesses that saw you in the past, that saw how you used to live, how you used to curse, how you used to drink and smoke and lay with different people, whether they're male and female, and how you were jealous and how you lied and how you gossiped. They were the witnesses that solidified your past. These witnesses saw Jesus in the tomb and how he was placed. Now, when you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have been made anew, regenerated, born again. And you are alive in Christ. You are no longer the old person. You are a new person in Christ Jesus. Why? Because you've accepted him as Savior. We call this salvation. That is what the witnesses that saw you in the past, they will see the new person, born again, walking differently, talking differently, thinking differently, sharing differently, administering differently, caring differently for others, loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. These are the witnesses that show that you are no longer the person they used to hang out with, the person they used to smoke with, the person they used to lie with, the person that used to gossip with. You are no longer this person. When we are dead in our transgression and sin, we are no longer the old person. Let's look at this in Scripture. So now we've walked through the epistles, showing and correlating all of the scriptures that indicate how the witnesses were there and the witnesses now see that the body is gone.
see the place where he, where they laid him, according to Mark 16, verse 6. The angels told them, do not be afraid, do not be alarmed, go and tell the disciples. Now, this is the same command for us. Now that they see, your witnesses saw, the ones that saw the past, your past, now that they see your present, they will go and tell others how you have changed, how you have, how you look different, you talk different, you walk different, you think different, you're acting different, you're doing different things. They try to encourage you to come to some parties, some questionable events that may not be well for you in your spiritual walk. They try to encourage you to do things that you shun or you turn from that are contrary to what Scripture teaches. These same witnesses will go and tell others how you are no longer the same. You have been changed. And they see with their own eyes that what you and them used to do together, you no longer. And this is what God wants us to do. Turn from our wicked way, that past lifestyle, that adulterous lifestyle, that dark lifestyle, and cleave to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So now that we have seen in Scripture how he was buried and he rose, let's look at Scripture in Ephesians chapter 2, and let's look at how it tells us that we will have the same thing happen to us as children of light, as believers in Christ Jesus, as we are in a new creation. We've been made anew. We've been born again. And let's look at Ephesians on how it expresses to us, it teaches us how we have been made alive in Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 1. I want to read this in the new NIV translation, the New International Version, and then I want to reread it in the New Living Translation to where it would come even more alive. Ephesians 2, verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world. Followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time. And this is what I was explaining concerning those witnesses that saw how we used to live at one time. We were disobedient. We ran to sin instead of running from sin. All of us also lived among them that at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh. That's that soulish man, that sinful nature that wants to cleave to sin and hunger for sin and follow its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, deserving of God's judgment because we were so disobedient. The consequences of our sin, of course, we know is death. Verse 4, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgression. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. That's a process. By grace. Faith by grace is the process. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So we are saved, we believe by faith, saved by his amazing grace, that we would do good works. We're not saved because of works. We're saved to do work. And the work of Jesus Christ. This ministry, Mission from the Heart Radio, is the work of God by proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ across the world wide web. He said, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear. But not only with his natural ear, but hear with his heart, that he would receive Jesus Christ as Savior. That no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Luke 10 and 2 puts it this way. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. That's you and me. We are the laborers to go into his harvest. That is, go into all the world and preach the gospel, teach the gospel, baptizing them in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He commanded us to go and do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I want to reread this in the New Living Translation, Ephesians 2, and I'm going to start in verse 1. Once you were dead, doomed forever because of your many sins, you used to live just like the rest of the world, full of sin, obeying Satan, the mighty prince of the power of the air. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passions and desires of our evil nature. We were born with an evil nature. We were under God's anger just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so very much that even while we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's spiritual or special favor, that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ, and we are seated with him in the heavenly realm, all because we are one with Christ Jesus. And so God can always point to us as examples of the incredible wealth of his favor and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us through Christ Jesus. Through Christ Jesus. God saved you by his special favor when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. This is something that God has planned for us before the creation of the world, the earth. This is what God wanted us to do good works. Now that we have accepted, or once we accept Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior, salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. Salvation is a gift. Who is salvation? Jesus Christ is our Savior. He is our salvation. Jesus gave, John 3:16 put it so plainly, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall have eternal life. Shall have eternal life. And when we prayed that prayer of salvation for you, brothers and sisters who accepted Jesus Christ, my words, but your heart, he gave Jesus for you as well as me and all of those who accepted. So now the witnesses have seen your past, they see your present, and this promises our future. That we were dead, doomed forever because of our many sins. But thanks be to God for giving his only, one and only Son, Jesus Christ, as the perfect sacrificial lamb who died on that cross for you and me, that we would have a right to the tree of life. He is the life-giving tree. He was the tree that sat in the middle of the garden. That was the tree that was good for eating. He is the bread of life sent from heaven. So now that we see how we were made alive in Christ Jesus, that we too will rise alive in Christ Jesus. He lives, he rose, and we live on this side of heaven. But when we fall asleep in Christ, we will rise in Christ. The dead in Christ will rise. That is a promise.
He gave us his son. He walked down Calvary's cross. He bled, he hung, bled, and died for you and me. And he was buried in a borrowed tomb that never been used. The witnesses saw King Jesus placed in the tomb, positioned, wrapped in linen cloth. But early on that Sunday morning, early, the rock had been rolled away. The angels spoke to the women and reassured them to not be afraid. And they said, "He is alive. He has risen. He is no longer in the grave. He conquered the grave." That means you and I will rise in Christ Jesus. It's not complicated. We need to look alive in Christ Jesus. He is our Savior. He did this for you and me. We should never take with what he did on the cross lightly. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. This is what we are to go into all the world and teach and preach about. That others will have a right to the tree of life, that they would enter into the ark of salvation, that they too would turn from their wicked ways and accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, so that the witnesses that they used to run with, that they used to lie with, that they used to cheat with, that they used to steal with, that they used to do the unthinkables with, that those same witnesses will see the Jesus in you, and they would come like Nicodemus did and ask, "What must I do to be saved?" And that you and I can lead them to the Savior, that they would confess that they are a sinner and receive Jesus as their free gift of salvation, that they too will have life eternal. I thank you for being a faithful listener to this broadcast. Always remember that, yes, Jesus, he did die on that cross, that you go and tell somebody that Jesus is alive, that he lives, yes, Jesus lives. Not only that he lives inside you by way of the Holy Spirit, that you have the boldness and the humbleness and the tenderness of heart to share the gospel with others in a loving and peaceful way, that you tell them Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that no man can come to the Father but by him. He is alive. Always remember that the grass withers and the flowers fade away, but the word, the holy word of God, will remain forever and ever and ever. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the holy word, that we would be willing, ready, and able to go. God bless you, and thank you for being a faithful listener to Mission from the Heart Radio. And I pray that your week will be a blessed week, that your Sunday worship would be filled with joy and praises, and that you would come back and listen to Mission from the Heart Radio. God bless you.